You're listening to a podcast from Riverview Church in Bowness, recorded during one of our Sunday gatherings. For more information about Riverview Church, for service times or contact details, go to riverviewchurch.uk or find us on Facebook at Riverview Bowness.
Well, good morning. I don't want to alarm you. There's a lot of alarm going on in this room right now. It's 4 weeks to Christmas. Honestly, crazy. Now, I did have a photograph, which unfortunately it hasn't uploaded, but I wanted to mock Margaret with great love and affection this morning, because we went for a meeting at Margaret's house the other day, and her conservatory is like Santa's grotto. It's literally plastered in presents. It was impressive. And some of you have started to buy. None of you men, but some of you have started to buy. And some of you have started to expect or hope. And you've got this thing, like, I've got to make a confession, and Jess has gone to kids' church, so it's fine. The confession is, through the year, Jess will send me little messages. Oh, just hints of, I want this for Christmas. And the idea is that I store them in a safe place. And I do, but like every man who has a man drawer, nobody knows what's in it. Nobody knows even where to find it. You find it when you find it. And so we come to about 4 weeks before Christmas, and I say to Jess, what do you want? And she's like, I've been telling you for 12 months. Honestly. So the theme for the coming few weeks is hashtag, because you've got to have that, because all the cool hit kids have that, hashtag best gift ever. Now, here we are. We're in church. Many of us, most of us are Christians, and it's coming up to Christmas. So you're not going to be surprised by the fact that the punchline is Jesus, okay? But in true me style, I'm going to take three messages to get there, okay? So, because there's so much more to this, and you just have to excuse my husky kind of Bryan Adams voice this morning. Personally, I like it. I mean, I think this kind of works for me. If I could just keep it here, then that'd be wonderful, because I kind of like the sound of this. I don't like my voice normally, but I'm going to listen back this time, I think. In Ephesians 4, 7 and 8, it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And that is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to men. Plural, gifts to men. And so I want to spend a little time over the next couple of weeks looking at what some of those gifts are, because they are phenomenal. Fantastic. And as this is number one out of four, I really want to zoom out before I zoom in. I want to spend a bit more time in intro, if you'll excuse me in that today. And I'm going to start right here. What is the best gift that you ever received? Just think about it. And no spiritual answers yet. I know, you know, some of you are gunning to go, Jesus! You know, but it's, yes, we know, that's fine, that's perfect, that's amazing. But let's bring it back to the earthly carnal kind of, what's the best gift?
Play guitar.
Oh, hello. I did actually write the word interaction here. So, like, Eddie obviously looked at my notes. What, anyone else want to tell me what's the best gift you've ever got? Sorry? A hamster. I bought a hamster for Jess once, and I was trying to be all, like, lovey and stuff. I gave it to her on Valentine's Day. Aww. Because that's what you give on Valentine's Day, isn't it, a hamster? And then, so I got her to shut her eyes and sit down, and I brought the hamster out of its cage, and I was going to get her to open her eyes, and I'd be holding this cute little hamster. The flipping thing bit me, and so I dropped it on the floor, and went, and she opened her eyes, and there's blood dripping out of her hand, and this hamster whizzing across the floor. Anyway, that's not in my notes. Anything else? Anyone else want to tell me what their best gift ever is?
Family.
Huh? Family. Well, that's very good. Yeah, absolutely, family. I would say the best gift I ever received was Jess.
Aww.
Yeah, make sure she knows that, will you? And I think the best gift I've ever given was me. But you know what it's like, men, you know what I'm talking about. The search for the perfect gift, it's exhausting, isn't it? It's really hard work for us guys. And don't worry, because most petrol stations will stay open till about midnight on Christmas Eve, so you're okay. But, you know, maybe you think this is all a bit too commercialised, and perhaps you're right. You know, I think there is a really Coca-Cola kind of angle to Christmas these days. But listen, there's a culture of giving in Scripture. Andrew talked about this about 4 weeks ago, but in Hebrew culture, listen to this from Leviticus, it's not going to come on the screen, but from Leviticus 23 it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest, leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you, I am the Lord your God. This is generosity, this is giving, it's in the culture. God instructs, and I could give you tons of scripture in Old Testament that would say, God really loves givers. And so there's a culture there. And in the early church, we've talked a lot about this. I'm not going to major here, but all the believers had everything together in common. And they came and they put their belongings at the apostles' feet to share. It is a culture of giving. Paul commends the Philippian church. We'll get there, don't worry, in chapter 4 when I finally finish Philippians. But he says, when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. And he commends them for it, this culture of giving. And then Jesus' birth, let's get Christmassy. When they saw the star, this is coming up on the screen. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Are you feeling Christmassy yet? We'll get there to that bit. And then God himself is a giver of gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly light, says James. Matthew 7, Jesus says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God is a giver. He's a giver of gifts. He gifts his Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He gifts his Spirit. Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. That's a pretty incredible gift. Like most of the gifts I got 5 years ago are gone. But Jesus gives gifts that are forever. The Spirit of Truth. And in fact, Jesus gives us all we need. In 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need to live a godly life. He's given us. If you struggle to live a godly life, which, let's be honest, most of us will, he's given us. Not you've got to find in yourself, but he has given us everything we need. You know, giving of gifts isn't a reflection of a commercial culture. It's a reflection of God's heart. I put it to you, that's why we give gifts at Christmas. Not because Tesco's benefit, I mean, I hope with some of us buying some of our presents elsewhere other than Tesco's, but, you know, it's because it reflects God's heart. And why we give gifts to family predominantly is because family reflects God's heart. It's right at the very center. If you consider the Trinity, one God in three persons, the relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that is family. And that's why family is important in our belief, in our faith, because it reflects God. So let's circle back to where we started and consider what these gifts are, these kind of extras, because Jesus is the punchline here. But what are these extras? And I want to kind of focus in on one in particular, but just pause. How many of you, show of hands, I've got interaction written down again. How many of you still get a stocking? Put your hands up. Go on. Wow. There's a few. The rest of you, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry. But how many of you usually get more than one present from your significant other or your parent or something like that? More than one? Yeah? The rest of you, I'm really sorry. Just send me a contact details and I'll get it sorted out for you. You know, sometimes we know what the main gift is going to be, don't we? Sometimes. Or at least we hope we know what the main gift is going to be. But what about those surrounding gifts? You know, what I really love about Jess, I'm really bigging her up. Like, we've got to cut all this out of the podcast because it's just going to go to her head. But
that's me, when I listen to it again.
Yeah, no, she's not allowed to. But, like, one of the things I love about Jess is the way that she tries to kind of bring a theme into the gifts. So, like, one year it was all about coffee. Because I love coffee. And so the first thing was like some really nice coffee, and then maybe a coffee grinder, like a little fancy one. And then the big present was like an espresso machine or something like that. And so you get, and have you ever had that thing where you're like, you must open this one first? You know? And so, like, that's amazing, isn't it? And this is the thing, sometimes the main gift and the mini gifts, they all work together. They tell one story. And what we're talking about here is all the things, like in Jesus we have all things, but they all work together and they're all to do with Jesus, okay? And this is totally irrelevant, but how many of you still kind of go to the under the tree or whatever and you have a little test, have a little check? Oh, wow. Do any of you like rip a hidden corner? What?
That's too far.
It's like sin. Look, when we receive Jesus, we receive abundance. We receive so much more. In fact, more than we can ask or imagine. Like, if you think you've got a measure of what you have in Christ, just keep expecting, keep looking, keep dreaming there. And these are not lesser, they're not casual, they're not stocking fillers. You know, when we had a stocking, there'd be like satsumas in it. Why? We've got a fruit bowl. Why take it out of there and pop it in a pillowcase? It's pointless. Or like little plastic toys that will break within 10 minutes.
It's not pointless.
It's not. Oh, okay. Amen. All of these things that we get in Christ are part of the full gift. They all come together. They're all glorious. They all point to Jesus. They satellite him in such a splendorous way. They're wonderful. What do we get? Well, here's a couple of things. We get hope. Yeah? Even if this life is horrible. And for many, it will be. But we still have hope beyond this life. Real hope. We have peace because of that hope. We have wisdom. We have access to wisdom. In fact, James says, if you lack it, ask for it. We have freedom from our sin. We have access to God. We have a future. We have an inheritance. And read Ephesians 1 and see what wonderful inheritance we have in the heavenly places. Like, we have belonging, and more, and more, and more, and more, and more, and then more still. In fact, all things are yours in Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, like Paul, Apollos, Cephas or the world, or life or death, or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. So, here's the reality. Some of you might be asking this right now, why don't I see it? Why don't I feel it? Why don't I have access to it all? It's a legitimate question. It's a thing I struggle with often as well. And some gifts, if we're honest, we undervalue them. Some we misunderstand. Some we underutilize or fail to maximize. You know, years ago, when I first moved to Bowness, Eddie and Rosie, bless you, I haven't prepped you for this, but you gave me some wonderful presents, but one of those presents was a pair of socks. Now, hang on. Before you go, socks. Those are the best socks I've ever had. I'm not even kidding. I think I'm wearing them today, actually. That's 5 years. These are Bridgedale socks. Yeah. If you're a hiker, you know what I'm talking about, right? These are the daddy of socks. And they did give me loads of other amazing gifts, but that's not a mandate, by the way. But if you want. But the thing is, you could look at that and go, oh, that's a pair of socks. But these are amazing socks. They've outlasted all my other socks. You know, some presents we get and you kind of don't quite understand it, or you don't realise how good it is until you put it into use, until you see how durable it is. Some gifts we box away or stick on a shelf. How many of you have a box of gifts? No, that's just too awkward, isn't it? You just got to be ready. You've got to label them. If you get a gift that you don't want to keep, you've got to label it so you don't give it back to the person that gave it to you. Super awkward. Obviously, you can tell from my tone I've done that. Jesus doesn't give any gift for the mantelpiece or for the bookshelf. So are you ready to zoom in here? Let's zoom in. And here's one for free, right? The Word of God, the Bible, Scripture. You know, now, honestly, I've got, I think about 40 of these on my shelf. I rescue Bibles from shops, you know. I think I've got about 40 on my shelf, but there's always one on my desk. And actually, as I use it, and as I read it, and as I absorb it, I've one in my heart, you know. So there's one, devour it, nourish yourself on it, equip from it. And next week, I'm going to look at gifts of power. We like power, don't we? Gifts of power. And then I'm going to look at the gift of presence. Not presents, but presence. But today, often undervalued. Often misunderstood, often underutilized, shelved or rejected or minimized, the gift of prayer. This is a treasure. I mean, a real treasure. You know, preaching is going to stop. Worship will continue forever. And prayer, I would argue, is also going to go forever. It will be very different when we stand face to face. But it will last forever because prayer is the access to talk with God. And so let's start here with a bit of honesty. Okay. I've written here, tongue-in-cheek and light-hearted, just to kind of keep that there. Okay. Let's start with a really easy one, okay? How many of you always observe the speed limits? Come on. Is there what? I don't believe you. Okay. All right, I believe it. You always... Wow. The rest of you, you sinners. Honestly, do you know there are two policemen in this church? Be careful. How many of you never tell fibs? No, nobody wants to put their hand up for that, do they? Because, everyone wants to put their hand up for it. But that would be telling a fib, wouldn't it? The irony. Okay. How many of you are always honest about feeling shame or pain? And how many of you would say you have a healthy prayer life? Don't put your hand up, that's a rhetorical question. How many would you say have a healthy prayer life? What do I mean by healthy? It's not about how much time is, what is the purpose of it? How do you prioritize it? It's not I need to have my 7 to 7:30 with God today. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but we've got to see it as a bit more than this slot that we fit into our day. I want to say this gently. When I don't have a healthy prayer life, I don't have a healthy life. I mean, the correlation is obvious every time. And when I do have a healthy prayer life, even if everything is falling apart, I have this peace and this security and this health in my spirit in the middle of it all. Okay? This isn't about guilt. Like, oh, I should talk to Jesus more. It's actually about not shortchanging yourself. Robbing yourself of the joy and the abundance that is in Jesus Christ, that you have access to. You have access, not to an earthly father, but to a heavenly father through Jesus. And even if you don't know what to say, Scripture tells us that the Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf. So even if you just come before God and you're like, I got nothing. Like, the Holy Spirit is doing it for you. So what is healthy? And it's not time, but priority and focus and intention. And prayer relationship is two-way, isn't it? Like, I'm going to go back to Jess as well. It's just like, I'm going to get killed today. It's all positive. Look, at least 50% of the time, my interaction with Jess depends upon me. At least. How I interact with Jess depends upon me. Like, a relationship's 50-50, isn't it? But if I want to see Jessica's face, okay, and I'm sat in my office, I can't just sit there and expect that she's just going to show up when I think, oh, I wish I could see Jess's face right now. I actually have to go find her, or I have to call her if I want to see her. Parents, have you ever done that where your kids are like, Mom, come and find me, dear? You know. And listen, sometimes Jess shows up out of the blue, and it's really wonderful. Aww. And sometimes she is present, but I'm distracted, so I'm not giving her the attention or focused on her. Sometimes she's speaking and I'm not listening. Come on, husbands. You with? Back me up on this, please. Come on, you liar. We need to go back like 3 points to the honesty, my man. Come on, guys. How many times have you, your wife said something to you and you're like, yes, dear? You're like, I hope she doesn't ask me what she just said, because that's just going to not go well for me. Like, women, be patient with us. And sometimes I'm just speaking at her and not to her. And isn't that, all of that, how we come to God? Sometimes we just expect him to show up, but we're not involved in seeking him or asking him to come. Or he's there, but we're not really paying him attention. And he's speaking, but we're not really listening. Or we're speaking, and we're just talking at him, you know? And relationship communication is my access point to Jessica's heart. Whether that's verbal, non-verbal, whatever. It's that that is my access to her heart. It's that that our relationship is built upon. And that's the same. Prayer is a gateway gift. It gives us access to God. And it's a treasure, and it's free, and it's for all of you. All of you can have access to God through Jesus. And even if you struggle, the Holy Spirit comes in to help. The curtain has been torn. The thing that divided us from Father God's presence has been removed because of Jesus. So we have full access there. And therefore, access to all he has. Listen, when Jesus says, this is how you pray, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. And these are questions, these are gifts. Your kingdom come and your will be done. That's a gift. That's asking him for a gift. Give us today our daily bread. That's asking for a gift. Forgive us our debts. That's asking for a gift. Lead us not into temptation. That's asking for a gift. Deliver us from evil. That's asking for a gift. And you know what? He wants to pour these things out. Jesus hasn't given us a liturgy here to mechanically repeat. He's given us such a wonderful blueprint for how to come to God, the Father, and ask for all things. These are gifts of relationship, gifts of kingdom, gifts of provision, gifts of forgiveness, gifts of safety. So the next question is, why can't I find him? And you know Jesus says, and this will come up on the screen, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks the door will be opened. And he goes on, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, let me put this to you. If you or I can't find him, keep seeking. There's a continuation in this verse. It's not like ask and, oh well, he didn't answer me, or God obviously hates me. It's keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Like, I know of people who prayed for their children or their spouse for their entire life. And if they gave up because God hadn't answered after a week or a year or 10 years or 25 years, like, what would happen? You see, God's time and our time are different things. But as John said a few weeks ago, Jesus will always answer, and sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is not yet. But he always will answer. We might not like the way he answers, but he will answer. And if you are still praying for your loved ones to come to faith, keep doing it. Don't give up. Do not give up. His word is a promise. It's a promise. It might seem like the most unlikely of promises, but it is a promise. So hold him. God, do you know God wants to be held to his promises? And that's really what faith is. Holding God to his promises, because he delights in that. Persistence. You know, a child who wants the latest games console. I don't even know if it's an Xbox these days. But how many of you with children would say that your kids would go, Daddy, can I have an Xbox? No. Okay. That's fine. No kid ever. They're going to plague you. I mean, they're literally going to become bubonic in their requesting, aren't they? Right, reality. And actually, that's what we should be when we come to God. We should literally keep going. But then you might say, why doesn't the answer I'll give? And like I just said about, you know, what John said, sometimes we don't like the answer. But also, we need to check our motives. Because James says, you do not have because you do not ask God. That's quite a simple statement. You do not ask, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. God, I want a Lexus isn't a great motive. Like, I've done a bit of jet setting recently, not as much as Jim. Jim's like, he's an international man of mystery. But I've been to a country recently that you guys know about, and then I've been to Belfast this week, which actually felt a bit more dangerous. No, I'm joking. You know, if I said, God, I'm travelling quite a lot, I think I need my own aeroplane. Probably wouldn't be asking for them the right motives, would I? You know? But if I say, God, you know, I find traveling exhausting. Is there a way that you can help me just in your spirit to refresh me? Then God might answer that. You know? Do you want to grow? You want breakthrough in your life? You want gifts? You need wisdom? You want joy? You know? You want relationship with God? You want fire? You want faith to rise? There's no other entry point than prayer. Because it's all there for you. It's all there. It's all there. Like, God's not going, oh, you don't deserve this yet. You're not getting this just yet. I'm saving. All things are yours in Christ. They're there. And so our access point is prayer. And prayer needs faith. Now, perhaps you struggle to pray on your own. I'm coming into my sort of final sort of, I'm not coming into land yet, but I'm doing that thing where you're just hovering around. I'm holding. Perhaps you struggle to pray on your own. And listen, this is a common struggle. There's probably many, many, many people in this room who would agree that it's often a struggle to pray, for the reasons, some of which we've mentioned already. But perhaps you're discouraged because you've just been asking and asking and asking, and it feels like heaven is silent and you're hitting tiles on the ceiling rather than prayers into heaven. And maybe you're losing faith a little bit because God's not done what you hoped for. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that people who believe in horoscopes, who really know that they're just junk, sometimes put more faith into the horoscope than we put into our prayer. And what does that say? You know, let me encourage you. Our faith isn't based upon like our perception or our feelings or like even the perceived answers that we have. Our faith is based in a God who is faithful, who, if we are believers, we know is true and righteous and holy and present, and he will be good for every one of his promises. And if we put our faith into him, then it doesn't matter how small our faith is, because we're putting our faith into a big subject. All right? Maybe you're distracted. And that can be from positive things or negative things, but distraction will stop our prayer life pretty quick. Maybe you're just busy. Like, that's, you know, fair. I think life is ridiculously busy. We had this little lull during COVID and we were like, oh, you know, well, some people had that kind of, ooh, this is what it feels like to live again, because you didn't have to go to work. You had no commute. You didn't even have to bother about your relatives too much. You could just phone them, and that's so time-saving. I know, and I'm being flippant, but obviously there's horrific things that we're still carrying, I think, from that. But now, any time that we gained has been absorbed by the busyness of life, hasn't it? Like, we're full pace again. If anything, I think we're busier than ever. But listen, unless you're asleep 24 hours a day, you can pray. And I'm not saying that to be hard. You can pray in the car. You can pray while you're making your coffee. You can pray while you're making dinner or watching somebody else make you dinner. You can pray while you're washing up or walking the dog. There is no task that you would do that you can't pray in. Not one. Even when you're in the shower, you're like, oh, I can't talk to God while I'm in the shower. He might see me. He made you. Like, he designed the whole thing, in and out. Like, that's not going to bother him. So you can pray in the shower, in the bathroom, whatever the function is. You can pray. God's not like, oh, this is stinky, I'm getting out of here. Like, that's not how God is going to roll. Because he promises never to leave nor forsake. So you can pray anywhere that you are. Whatever you're doing, you can pray. And then maybe, and this is a big one, maybe you don't know how. I mean, I didn't know how to communicate with women. You might argue that I still don't. And to be true, like, I don't. Because I think, like, there's just this realm of understanding that men do not have access into, right? No, we just can't get there. And again, be patient with us, ladies. But I'm still learning, and yet that doesn't mean, because I'm still learning how to communicate with women, I can't communicate with Jess. But when I first saw Jess, she was swinging a traffic cone around a basketball court, and I saw her from a window up high up in the lounge of the Bible College, and I looked down and I was like, there's a cool girl. So I'm going to go and speak to her. And I think the first thing I did was like, hi. And she hit me with a traffic cone. I mean, it was love at first sight. It was amazing. I I didn't know how to communicate with her, but I just got on because I desired to communicate with her. I wanted to. I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to learn what makes you tick. What thrills your heart? What pet hates do you have? What things am I going to do in 40 years' time that will really get under your skin? And let me see if I can do them a bit more. I'm still learning, and I think when we come to prayer, we should still be learning. And if all you've got is God, like, I don't know what to say to you, but I need you. That's a good start. In fact, if you just pray Psalms at God, that's all right. You don't have to use your words to start with. You can go, wow, David really nailed how I'm feeling right now. This is how I feel, God. Like, use that. And don't quit. Keep at it. Keep at it, even when it feels horrible. And if you struggle to pray alone, and this is a biggie, pray with other people. And this is where it gets awkward. You know, it does sometimes get a bit awkward when you do that. But often other people will put into words what you can't. And you know, just a well-intentioned amen, you're attaching to that prayer. Like Ian might say something, I don't know how I'm feeling, and Ian will pray something, and I'm like, yes, Lord. That's it. That's my prayer. That's okay. We can share and borrow each other's prayers. That's the point of getting together. You know, your intentional amen. There is power and purpose when we gather together. There's encouragement occurs in crowds. If you look at protests, they raise in volume and excitement because of the crowd. Like if there was just one person walking down the street, whatever the protest is, you know, just stop oil, just stop oil. It's like, nobody's listening. But if you gather a ton of people around, they get excited. Like, energizing happens in crowds. Joy that is carried in one heart like a candle becomes a burning fire when all those candles come together. Agreement in community binds agreement in the heavenlies. You know that? You are a gift to the church. You're not the gift, that's Jesus, but you are a gift because you carry his spirit. And so when the writer of Hebrews says, don't neglect meeting together, he's saying there's an importance. It isn't sentimental, like, oh, isn't it nice? Let's sing some hymns and songs and just a bit of encouragement. There's power. There is power and encouragement and enrichment and challenge and discipleship and strengthening when we come together in prayer. And why, and hear me on this, why are our prayer meetings so scantily attended? And I want to say this really gently, and it is a rebuke. It's a pastoral rebuke, but I'm saying it with a heart that says, church, we want to win this town for Jesus Christ. And you so often in your life are like, God, why won't you just move? But our prayer meetings are the least attended thing. And I'm not saying that for guilt. I'm saying it because you are missing out. You're missing out. Now, busy, I get it. Families, I get it. Please hear me. Please, please, please. Some of you are never going to be able to come on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning when we gather at like 10:30 here. You're never going to be able to do that, and that's okay. Don't hear judgment. And don't look at each other and go, well, you never turned up at the prayer meeting, because that's not right. That's not what it's about. If you turn up because you feel guilty, that's not a good place to come from. That doesn't thrill our hearts as leaders here. But we want this town to be one for Jesus. And we want to see you victorious in Christ. We want to see discipleship like power in our lives. And it's possible. Like, transformation can happen. Like, I believe that this entire town could be saved. I mean it. This entire town could be saved, but it'll be on the back of the believers coming together in prayer and really intently seeking God. And currently we have two prayer meetings in a month, one online and one in person, but like, I think we need a couple more. Because not everyone can make a Wednesday night, not everyone can make a Sunday morning. And don't worry if you turn up and there's five people there, make that a powerful prayer meeting. So please, please, please hear me. But let's take Cinderella back to the ball. And I'm going to wrap up right here. Prayer's a gift. It's a glorious gift. It's a wonderful gift. It's a gift that can change the things that you need changing. It's a gift that can raise hope in your life where it's dying. God's the one who says, like, a bruised reed I'll not break. A smouldering wick I'll not snuff out. Listen, if you come to a prayer meeting but you're scared to pray in out loud, that's fine. Like I said, amen everyone else's prayers. You know? And actually, as that rises as a crescendo of joy and purpose, it's a gift. It's a gift to the church. It's a gift to us individually. It's a gift to the town. You have access to Father God. And we can come as a whole family to the drawing room of the Father. And we can all sit. And we can all talk. And we can all laugh. And we can all enjoy. And we can all be encouraged, and we can all grow, and we can all find hope, and we can all find peace that passes understanding. We can say that it is well with my soul, even though the sea billows roll. Let Satan do what he will. Let's scorn the shame of the cross. Let's rise with Jesus in faith. If you don't use a gift, you lose a gift. But so do we. And so does the town. So, again, please, please underline this in your minds. Not guilt. Let's take a hold of the things for which Jesus put himself on a cross for. And let's put that into action in this town and in our hearts. There's immense power and purpose as we gather in prayer. Imagine if our prayer meetings were full. If they were able to be. And if you're not, that's fine. But if our prayer meetings were full, our hearts would be fuller. Our experience would be fuller. Our confidence, our joy, our hope, our understanding, our maturity, fuller. The power, outworking gifts of the Holy Spirit, fuller. The church, physically, will be fuller. I promise you. And next week, we'll look at these gifts of power, and then Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us forever. He gave his life. He tore the veil so we could come. But will you use this access to come, or will you put it on the shelf? What will your priority be? And we're just going to come to God and spend a bit of time in reflection before we move on.